Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good morning.
Morning to you, too.
Thank you, thank you. The fellas are back from a long weekend, and what happened since they were away? Tongue planted firmly in cheek as you look out over New York City. Key loves that shot on ESPN
News. Oh, yeah, that's a great shot.
The sun coming up, the yellow hue. If you're watching us on ESPN News, listening on ESPN Radio, Jay, of course, loves the NBA. And fellas, like I said, I'm just kind of joking, but the last time you were here, plenty has happened, including the team with the best record in the NBA won a playoff game and the world was shocked. I don't know the last time that actually happened. We've been talking about Anthony Davis playing better and better. He goes for 34-10 in the last game, but, but LeBron almost has a triple-double, Key. Nobody's talking about AD.
Oh, that's great, man. But that's not the most important thing.
What's the most important thing?
What the hell did you do this weekend? Like, what did you do?
I worked.
Not on the weekend.
You didn't work on the weekend.
I was here yesterday.
No, yesterday. Yeah, but I mean, there was Saturday. There was Friday evening. There was Saturday. There was Sunday. Zuby, I mean, there's some days in there. You know, some of us did some things.
You know, this is the most intriguing question of the whole show, right?
Like, why
both
is that?
Key and I always, because I know what Key does for the most part. Key knows what I do.
Hamptons.
I don't know what you do on weekends, Zubin. What do
I'm
you do?
Constantly preparing for the program to put you guys in the best position to succeed.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my. Zubin, really?
Yeah, well, we watched some games, obviously. We had some fun looking at, you know, whether it was the Lakers winning, whether it was Giannis being hurt, whether it was Westbrook, awful shooting, whether it was last night's game and the Clippers. I mean, we did some stuff now.
Can I also mention, by the way, this is especially for you, but Jay and I too, and most of our listeners who love football, it's football week, Chiefs-Texans Thursday. I know you've been digging into a ton of stuff. We're going to talk NFL all morning long, but I want to start with the arch rival, if there is such a thing, to your Lakers,
hey,
which
Key,
would be
you know,
the Clippers.
He's all about work.
No, it's fine.
He's all about work
just,
right now, you know?
We're going to get there. I just want to, you know, wanted to dive into his weekend, but clearly he doesn't want to share that with us, so therefore cool, we're going to move on to our arch rivals.
Did you purchase any more sweaters this weekend? Any more getting ready for the fall?
Oh, no. I mean, I have depth at the sweater position. I'm not really worried about
You're
any
good.
Of that.
Okay.
I'm right. there. I'm
right.
totally there.
I didn't know any new color sets. Never mind.
All right. No, that's
well,
a new
we
color.
We are post-Labor Day, so I probably do have to think about
think
accessorizing
about
a little bit
autumn,
differently.
Autumn, fall.
You love the NBA. You love what the Clippers did. If you saw Kawhi's block last night, you certainly love that. His block on Jamal Murray provided us the MVP moment of the week. MVP moment of the week brought to you by Sport Clips. A new season at Sport Clips haircuts. All stylists are clean certified and guys smart. If you haven't seen it, it was a one-finger block.
Yeah.
Just another great moment for Kawhi Leonard. And the Clips are up 2-1, perhaps with Key's Lakers waiting.
Well, look, Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers gave his middle finger to the world. He gave his middle finger to the world. Seriously, it was a big time block on Jamal Murray. But most importantly, right, like, you know that in order for Denver to win games down the stretch, that Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic have to be great. Jokic looked like an MVP candidate last night with the way he played. But they also were trapping Jamal Murray every single time off ball screens. He had a subpar game. And think about this, Key. The Clippers had 8 players that scored in the fourth quarter. Their depth overall, the volume of players that they have defensively to throw at Jamal Murray, who looked tired, who looked gassed and winded, ultimately came to fruition on a team that didn't have the firepower to stay with the Clippers.
I would think when you're this young and you face somewhat, I don't want to say adversity, but this playoff stretch is new to you, and they're much like Jay Will saying, they're trapping you, they're throwing different things at you that you probably hadn't seen in the past. Certainly will have your brain scrambled a little bit trying to figure out how to do things. And in terms of Kawhi, I mean, what did you expect? I mean, here's a guy who by far is probably playing the best in the bubble at this juncture of the playoffs. I mean, there's no better player right now. I mean, you look, maybe LeBron, maybe AD at a stretch, but Kawhi on both ends of the floor is getting it done. And it's just, he's playing for the Clippers. He doesn't say much. It was so funny because he was sitting at the damn free throw line last night, right? And he wasn't saying nothing to his teammates. You know how usually you at the free throw line.
Make the
you
free
dribble,
throw.
You dribble, you free throw, you make it. They everybody come up, give you a little low five. Yeah. Or you say something about what.
Nope.
This dude wasn't saying. I was like, okay, does he ever say anything at all to anybody? Do they communicate? I swear I never see him communicate, even on the floor. Switch, help, backside, weak side, help. I don't see him say nothing. But he continuously goes out there. He gets it done night in and night out. who else he's is Terminator. Better? Who else is better to block that shot at the end of the game other than Kawhi?
No, by the way, that's why his nickname is the Claw, right? Defensively, he locks you up. And by the way, when they gave him the nickname the Claw, just for fans out there who don't know this, have you ever seen Kawhi Leonard's hands? Mm. Right? Like, Amari Cooper is one of those
can
people
look
that...
At, you can look at his arms, let alone, not even his...
Key.
His arms are so long... When you get to his hands, it's like twice the size of mine.
You can't get a feel for it, even if you look at his arms on TV. It's like Amari Cooper came to Mike and Mike back in the day one time before he got drafted. I remember he shook my hand. I was like, hold on a second. Let me see your hands. And Amari Cooper's hands might be the only person's hands I've ever seen compete with Kawhi. Wow. Let me give you something for a regular person's hands. Yeah. Zubin, I'm curious because, Key, do you have big hands, Key? Kind of.
I'm all right. Well,
you all right?
I'm straight.
Decent size hands,
I'm good.
Right? Average man's hands, 7.6 inches long, 3.0 inches wide.
Okay.
3.5 inches wide. Kawhi Leonard's hands, 9.75 inches long, 11.25 inches wide. Are you kidding me?
But I could tell how he controls the basketball that he has big hands. You could tell just based on how he's controlling the ball that his hands is really large. Much like MJ's, like Jordan hands. Jordan got them long, just super long fingers, so you could tell when a guy has really large hands on a basketball.
It's the size of Shaq's hands. I mean, but that's Kawhi, right? Shaq is what, 7'1"?
That puts it into perspective. That really does, actually. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Tim Legler, who will be here to talk NBA and Kawhi at 7:15 a.m. Eastern. Boardman gets paid. Key, 23, 14 boards, 6 assists. And how about Jay, Paul George, after the tough start in the bubble, talking about the anxiety, the depression, 32, 5 triples, and the Clippers are halfway home to their first, perhaps, Western Conference Finals berth in the 50-year history of the franchise.
Oh, they're going to get there. And look, PG, the 15th game that this team has played at full capacity. Everybody healthy. It's only the 15th game that this team has played fully healthy. Right? So Patrick Beverley, yes, he's averaging 2 points.
He gets on my nerves.
And he does get, he talked about Nikola Jokic and flopping. But
no, but when I say get on my nerves,
flailing was the word he used.
It's not that I don't like to watch him play. He just gets on my nerves. He's a little gnat. Like,
that's what he does.
Get out of here.
That's what he does.
Like, he just, I can only imagine playing against him. I've been done punch that dude, man. He missed a three yesterday. He misses a three. He goes back on the defensive end, picks the pocket, goes up and scores on the cup. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there going, this dude just get on my damn nerves.
Well, that's the point. Think Patrick Beverley gets on your nerves. Marcus Morris gets on your nerves. We saw what happened between him
get
and
on
Luka,
my nerves.
Right? Montrezl Harrell plays hard all the time and plays with relentless energy.
Another dude can get on your nerves.
And so they have these players, right? You put them in conjunction with Paul George, who can score. He was cooking last night. Kawhi Leonard, who closes down the fourth in the stretch. And then Will, a guy who can score from anywhere on the floor. That's what makes the Clippers so special.
Harrell, your sixth man of the year. Kawhi going for 3 titles with 3 teams and 3 MVPs. That's never been done in the history of the league. Still to come, speaking of MVP, Giannis short term, we know the deal. Will he go? Will he not? Long term for the money. Will he stay? Will he go? Why a recent NBA injury that everyone knows about could be the telltale sign to decide whether that's the case. That's on the way.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ooh. And we are brought to you by Redbox.
That is correct.
Now at Redbox, stream the theatrical home release of Bill and Ted Face the Music starring Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. They were the old guys in the first movie back in 89. Get premium access. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. Let's start with DJ winning the FedEx Cup with his victory at the season-ending tour championship. Took home a cool ho-hum $15 million.
He's won two of three now.
Yeah, held off Justin Thomas and Xander Schauffele at Eastlake in Atlanta on Monday, a far cry from 13 years ago when he was going to try to get his PGA Tour card and making $25,000 for the entire year. In the understatement of the century, quote, "I am playing probably some of the best golf I've ever played." I think that's fair enough.
Right as we approach the U.S. Open, the timing is great.
Yep, that'll be here in the state of New York.
Way to go into your golf voice.
Thank you. Yes, you have to whisper. Jim Nance.
Thank you. Hello, friends. College football, BYU all over Navy, 55-3 last night on ESPN. More college football Thursday, UAB in Miami on the ACC network at 8 Eastern. We got a bunch of ACC and Big 12 teams that'll play on Saturday. Finally, really feels like college football is back with the Power 5 rolling. Speaking of, one of the best players in the Power 5, Oregon superstar Penny Sewell, offensive line stud, opting out of the season. He's preparing for the draft. No surprise here because Oregon's in the Pac-12, and clearly they're not playing, Keith.
So much over. You can forget about Penny for a while because he's getting ready to get some dollars.
There's no doubt about that. He'll be upgrading currency for sure. Larry Scott said maybe the Pac-12 could go as early as January. They're getting some really good news on that rapid COVID testing. If you're wondering how good this guy is, the only guy our Mel Kiper Jr. has above Penny Sewell in the 2021 NFL draft is Clemson's Trevor Lawrence.
Milwaukee Bucks will need some magic, and they'll need that man to lead them. Ready to go, and we'll be in the starting lineup.
If there's a team that can beat the team 4-0, it can be us.
Layup won't go, but a foul.
His ankle, he's grabbing.
He went down, you know, all our hearts just, you know, they stop.
He will not return the emotions as he walked back to the locker room.
He's the best player on our team, but at the same time, next man up.
Middleton for three. Bang! Mama, there goes that man.
We know he was laying down on the line out there for us, and we have to have his back tonight.
What a performance without Giannis Antetokounmpo.
So just in case you're wondering, the last team to go back from 3-0 down to win? Well, we're actually still waiting for that team, Key. 0-139 in the history of the NBA when you go down 3-0 in a best of seven. But ironically, as we mentioned, Giannis goes down with a right ankle injury, and that's the game Milwaukee wins. Jimmy Butler said they took their foot off the gas. Heat win tonight. They're back in the conference finals for the first time since 2014 when you-know-who Jay was leading the way. After that, Lakers, Rockets. Key will be locked in to that. Big question for Giannis, of course, right ankle injury, thinking about his long term, thinking about his short term, and you're thinking about Kevin Durant in all of this.
Well, no, I'm not thinking about Kevin Durant. I'm just, you know, you have to put these things into perspective if you're Giannis. I first off think Giannis is going to try to play. Knowing who Giannis is, watching the way he competes, he was considered to be probable for a game, the last game, and he decided to play. Giannis wants to be on the court with his teammates. He is that kind of guy, character-wise. The ultimate question, though, you get into this is, you know, depending upon how bad the ankle sprain is, what responsibility does the Bucks organization have if they deem he can't play to not let him play, right? You have things that you think about past situations. You have Grant Hill, you know, had that really bad ankle injury.
Never the same.
He got misdiagnosed, okay, by the team. I'm not saying that's the case here. You have misdiagnosed Kevin Durant.
Yep.
I was there at that game in Toronto where he had the injury that there was a calf strain that turned into torn Achilles, which was a huge setback for KD, obviously missing the whole year last year. So at what juncture, Key, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks organization with all these big time decisions that are looming, coming up for Giannis, the last year on his deal, does he want to stay there? Will he get the Supermax there? What responsibility do you have if you need to protect Giannis from himself, ultimately, if this ankle is too bad to play on, considering he's injured it the last two games he's played in?
Well, here's what I would say. Superstar players, if they can go, they're going to go in every sport. They don't want to let their teammates down. You look at the Kevin Durant situation a year ago. It was one thing, but he got on the court. It became something different. In this situation with Giannis, he's a guy, and I don't know him personally, just from afar, watching him on television, how he conducts himself in games, things of that nature. It just seems like to me, if he's able to go and he feels good, regardless to where they're at in terms of elimination, he's going to go. Now, Jay asked me the question about protecting the organization, protecting him from himself. Number one, it's the medical staff. Okay, the medical staff, the physical therapy trainers that are there, the team doctors. You don't necessarily, when you're a Giannis in this situation, you need to be able to get a second and a third and a fifth and a ninth and a 12th opinion.
The stakes are too high. Right?
The stakes are too high. Now, I don't know if they can
do that in the bubble.
I don't know if that, and I'm sure he probably can. I'm sure there's other doctors within the bubble, whether it's other team doctors or something that's hanging around, to be able to get that done. It's going to be tough considering that the situation that they're in one game from elimination. But it's also going to be tough because you want to be there for your teammates. And then it's also going to be tough because you are protecting your interest long term as a player, right? You don't want to.
$250 million interest.
And so I think if something was to happen, let's say he goes out there and he twisted even worse or tear a ligament here or there.
Sure.
He's still going to get his money.
No doubt.
Because he's that good. He's two-time MVP type, all these numbers. And big. You know, there's not a lot of guys running around walking through McDonald's parking lots that look like Giannis and plays like Giannis.
At 25 years old.
I feel Giannis is going to play, but I'm really scared. Think about how Giannis plays. When you see Giannis drive, Giannis will Eurostep you from the free throw line, right? Hear me out. When you Eurostep somebody, we see Giannis do this all the time. He can step through traffic. Think about how many times you're planting your feet down in the midst of traffic. It increases the opportunity for you to roll your ankle again, especially when you play at the speed Giannis plays at, and he's constantly doing that because he doesn't have the ability to knock down a jump shot. Something else I will say, why do you think Giannis has been shooting so many jump shots? He's been shooting jump shots because he hasn't been able to go off that ankle. That's why he's been settling. So now you get into this thing, you know, at what is Giannis playing? Does that hinder this team? Because also, when he plays, they don't move around the same. Everybody waits for Giannis to do something to play off the drive. The reason why they played better last time is because they had better continuity. Hence, Chris Middleton being able to do his thing.
We should also remember that Giannis can become a free agent at the end of the 2020-2021 season. So we're talking about it right now, but it's approaching fast. So essentially, at the end of next season, Jay, whenever it starts, he will become a free agent 2020-2021. Still to come, we'll discuss the MVP in another sport, not the NBA, but the NFL. What should we expect from the unanimous MVP last year in the league?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Chiefs, Texans, we'll be talking nonstop football because we know you love it as much as we do. Guys, you weren't here when Deshaun Watson signed that gigantic extension that essentially makes him the second highest paid player in the NFL, other than the guy he'll see in the other sideline key on Thursday night with Mahomes. So think about it. They have on the left side of their offensive line for the Houston Texans, they have the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. They have the highest paid left tackle in football in Laremy Tunsil to protect Deshaun Watson. That's part of the reason Bill O'Brien said there was no money left for DeAndre Hopkins. What do you make of this deal? Patrick's already got the Super Bowl and the MVP, but Deshaun could be closing fast.
Well, it's a good deal. He got paid. There was no, you know, they've been working on a deal for quite some time, and there was no real noise about it. And this is how you get a deal done with your star quarterback. And I think this is going to be a much better football team, not because, you know, it's like they're just – when you lose DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of people think that you're losing the star, the big numbers. That is all true. Mm-hmm. But when you add guys, it sometimes will allow the coach to open up the playbook and not have to – concentrate on solely getting DeAndre Hopkins the football. Now you got Brandon Cooks, you got Will Fuller. You know, you got more to work with. Mm-hmm. What is it? It's subtraction added.
Addition by subtraction.
Yes. That thing.
Which sounds a little strange on the surface, though, right? It's strange on the surface for a fan. I mean, you play the game, Key. I'm just a fan. But if I'm a fan and somebody says, we're going to extract DeAndre Hopkins and we might be better.
The first thing you go is, oh, God, we're losing our top guy. But
right, as a
that's
fan.
True. There's no question about it. But you're adding something that may fit within the offensive system, which is now I don't have to sit up, if I'm Bill O'Brien, all night long trying to figure out how to satisfy my star receiver by getting him the football. I can now plug people into my system that will allow Deshaun to be locked in on different levels opposed to one guy. When I see number 10 out there running up and down the field, it's like I got to get him the football. Now I can survey the land. I can look. I can go from 1 to 2 to 3. I can go back to 3 if I need to get back there. It will make Deshaun a much better quarterback opposed to staring down one guy the majority of a game.
Can I just tell you where I went, Key? So obviously, okay, you know, Cooks, Fuller, options, I hear that. Why does my brain go to this fact, though, when I hear about Deshaun Watson getting money saying, I just wish that DeAndre Hopkins could have been there because of how dynamic they were together. And then ultimately saying, okay, Bill O'Brien, so you traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson at this stage of his career, but yet we just saw Leonard Fournette go to the Bucs. We just saw Adrian Peterson go to another team. These are two people that you could have had for free. That's where my brain goes,
right? Well,
you
couldn't have them for free because,
essentially.
No, you didn't know that they would be available.
I hear you, but I'm just saying.
You got David Johnson 2 years ago was one of the most dynamic running backs in the league.
I know, but that was 2 years ago.
But he just needs to stay healthy. You have to make a – not only do you not make a financial decision based on having to pay Deshaun and not pay DeAndre, who is under contract but clearly has outperformed his contract that he's under, so you have to give him more money. So, therefore, he would be eating up a large portion of your salary cap along with Larry Tunsil, as Z mentioned. Then on top of that, there's other guys that you probably have to pay within the roster coming up in the next 12 to 24 months. You have to look at that when you wear both hats from a head coaching standpoint and a general manager. You get a Brandon Cooks that if he can stay healthy and not get concussed mm-hmm. by playing on the field, he gives you some explosiveness along with Will Fuller that will allow now David Johnson to hit the creases and the gaps to lift the coverage. But you make Deshaun Watson a much more well-rounded quarterback again other than just locking in on DeAndre Hopkins. Now, DeAndre Hopkins can play for me any day of the week, but when I'm trying to build a team in a certain type of roster, I can't afford to have that guy when I'm trying to put everything together. You know, when they go back and they self-evaluate, they say to themselves as coaches, what will make us better? This will make us better, being able to have an X, a Z, and a Y, a 1, 2, and a 3, not just a 1. Will Fuller has to stay healthy and Brandon Cooks has to stay healthy for this contract to make sense in terms of Deshaun Watson's productivity. Now, Deshaun's Deshaun. He is Houdini. We've seen it multiple times last year, getting away, getting out of harm's way, delivering the football, keeping his eyes downfield, still doing some magical things and leading them in a deep run into the playoffs. Now it's all really on Coach O'Brien to get the best out of the guys that he acquired in the offseason.
Houston, 4 division titles in 5 years, and I am so with you on Deshaun Watson. Remember, when
but that ain't even real. Those aren't even real divisional titles. But I'm sorry to say that.
Gotcha.
And the reason I say that is because you look at the divisions, Z.
That's fair. The teams that are in it. I will give you something real that I think a lot of people give Deshaun Watson credit for, and this is why you can't measure someone's heart. You remember that game last year they had to play at Jacksonville where he couldn't fly, and they took a bus because he had that rib injury?
Yes.
Or when he got hit in the eye, spun around, and threw a touchdown pass against the then Oakland Raiders. He is, to your point, Houdini. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And I want to now move the conversation ahead to another quarterback. So Chiefs, Texans, Thursday night. There's going to be 17,000 fans there, about 22% capacity. So we're going to get our first look at our first game with fans. There will be no fans key when the Browns take on the Ravens in Baltimore on Sunday. They're saying no fans there.
Is that because the Browns aren't very good and nobody wants to travel?
That's certainly
That's
possible.
Messed up, man.
No, leave
the Browns alone.
They'll be better.
They've been quiet all season.
No, they'll
season.
Be better.
Lamar Jackson, anything but quiet. He was as loud as could be. He was the unanimous MVP last year. So Mahomes gets paid. Watson gets paid. Key, what's next for this guy if he balls out?
Again, he'll get paid. But what? It's so interesting because he's so dynamic at what he does well, which is obviously play football. Play football. He's a football player. And those are the guys that you want in the locker room to help you win. He's not a quarterback, even though it says quarterback in the side right by his name. He's a football player. He can do it all. He can run. He can throw. He can do all of those sort of things. He's not your traditional quarterback. And I think for him to take that next level, he has to get better at playing the position within the pocket, delivering the football, or outside the pocket, being able to hit the side of a bus standing next to it, not having balls flutter all over the place. But on top of that, his receivers have got to step up. You know, Hollywood Brown, first-round pick out of Oklahoma a year ago, 46 catches, a little bit over 500 yards. That's not, you know, Willie Snead, a veteran guy they brought in from New Orleans. You know,
J.K. Dobbins.
30 catches. I mean, like, I need a guy to be able to, those guys to be able to step up. Now, this is play defense heavy, run heavy with Ingram, and allow Lamar not to make mistakes to win football games. But they're going to have to throw the damn ball. They're going to have to do it.
Everybody talks about his weaknesses. Obviously, you're going to try to find something to focus on. Only 4 players have won MVP back-to-back years in NFL history. And I think that Lamar Jackson has a chance to do it. But it's interesting, his quote-unquote weaknesses, he also led the NFL last year in passing touchdowns, though.
No, but
he
had 36.
And I understand his accuracy and his options. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, there are always things to work on. But it's funny, like, we have to find here's what he needs to work on. But he is the most dynamic quarterback we have in the game.
I started the conversation by saying he's a ridiculous ball. He's a football player. Mm-hmm. He's not a quarterback. Quarterbacks are Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. He's a football player. And if you want football players, which I want on my team, I take him any day of the week. There's no question about it. But in terms of it, within games, go to basketball for you, Jay. One thing that you want Ben Simmons to do what? You want him to shoot. If you're on the opposing team.
That's fair.
Go ahead and shoot. I dare you to. We're going to all stand underneath the rim and wait for the ball to come down.
So go ahead and throw the ball down the field.
Go ahead, do it. You go right ahead. We want you to kill us if you can, or kilt, K-I-L-T. It's up to you. I mean, and that's the realization of who he is as a quarterback. Doesn't mean he can't evolve. doesn't mean he's not going to get better. It's just right now, when I'm game planning against him and I'm looking at him, Z, and I'm saying, okay, we just need to do this to win this football game. And one of them is make him throw the ball and make him hit the target. And until he will show you that on a continual basis, you're going to game plan that way against him. Mm-hmm. That's just it. He torched the Rams on them. I think it was either Monday or Sunday night. He lit them up. There's no question. Everybody's, oh, my God. Oh, do you see the way he threw the ball? He's going to give you that at times. But then at other times, you're going to go, oh, man, that's not what we're really looking for. Mm. And so, this is his third year, man. Mm-hmm. The guy's gone to the playoff twice.
Right.
This is his third year. It's not a whole lot of quarterbacks are taking their franchises. First of all, as a rookie taking over for Joe Flacco and then getting them into the playoffs and then being the MVP the next year and dominating the NFL the way that he did, it's just not a whole lot of guys that could do that. Now we're asking, well, what is the next stage of his, I would call it sophomore year, because I don't count his rookie year because of when he took over. This is, for me, his sophomore campaign. What has he learned in the offseason to get better at the things that people are going to challenge him at?
Straight talk, wireless, no contract, no compromise. Greg McElroy, ESPN college football analyst, in 2 minutes. This may seem strange, but I want to kind of go back to two words you used. Football player. You seem to believe that term, it's so simple because all 53 guys are football players. When you use the term football player, that seems like the highest praise you can give anyone.
Yeah, he's not a robot.
But also, I know football is way more,
more advanced position, than basketball.
Position specific, right? But I know in basketball, it feels like, even Ed Reed was quoted saying, like, Lamar Jackson can play safety if he really wanted to.
He's a football player.
He's so fast and dynamic the way he plays. And
I was going to say, he's a football player. You can dial him up and not have to worry about it. Like, there's certain guys that play the position, right? The quarterback position, like a Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, he's a quarterback.
Okay.
He walks a certain way. He looks a certain way. He talks a certain way. His shoulders are broad. It's like, this is all he can do is throw the football. This dude is special. He's a special football player. We have so much we can do with him that we haven't even gotten to as an offensive staff. One of the things that he just has to get better at is the delivery of the football. Learning how to manipulate the football from the pocket. Learning how to do things on the perimeter other than run when he has a two-way go, which means throwing pass run option. Understanding that it's okay to throw the ball. Just because they put you on the perimeter doesn't mean that you have to run. Mm. When he starts to do those things, he's going to become a much better quarterback. And as you look at these quarterbacks, whether it's a Deshaun, whether it's a Pat Mahomes, whether it's a Cam Newton, whether it's a Jackson, they all have certain unique qualities, but they all yet are kind of the same. And some of those other guys, like a Pat Mahomes, has a different teacher at the coaching position that teaches quarterbacks things a certain way. If you put Lamar in Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy's system in the way that they teach their quarterbacks, maybe he becomes a different passer opposed to what they're doing in Baltimore. In Baltimore, they like his skill set. So what they decided to do was kind of craft the offense around his skill set instead of trying to get him to play that position immediately the way that it's been played for so long traditionally.
Well, kid, that's what happens when you're extremely athletic. Those abilities that you have can actually take away from the things that you need to focus on, right? And I think that you saw for Lamar, he's just so athletic that he was able to do those things. Whereas, look, even Pat Mahomes said this. It wasn't until year three that he actually said, hey, I actually started to read NFL defenses. I actually started to go through my reads, my progressions drastically different than I did in year two. So I think we'll see that evolution of Lamar.
If I had a chance to play with a dude like Lamar, telling what I would have done.
Mm. That might be the highest praise of all. And by the way, who wants to go redraft that draft with Lamar? You think he's going at the bottom of the first round? I certainly don't think so. No way. in hell. Let's talk a little bit more about the quarterback position with our quarterback, the national championship winning quarterback from Alabama, Greg McElroy, who joins us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Greg, we've been talking a ton of NFL. The season starts Thursday, as you know. I want to pivot to the college game with you, your level of expertise. I watched BYU. I watched a coach already get fired this season. How has the sport looked to you without spring ball, without all the pomp and circumstance we have come to know and love from college football, with what we've seen on the field?
Well, it's good to be with you guys. It's been beautifully sloppy, I guess is the best way to describe it. Last night, a team like Navy, for example, usually a well-oiled machine, so well coached, such incredible fundamentals, couldn't tackle because they didn't tackle at all throughout the course of fall camp. No live drills. They were tackling donuts and dummies. And as a result, when they had to tackle a real football player last night, it didn't go as well as they would have hoped. BYU just ran up and down the field with their rushing attack. So it is probably one of the more unpredictable seasons I can recall, because, guys, yesterday, Navy was a favorite. They were the favorite, and they lost 55-3. I mean, that is a one-sided defeat in the greatest sense of the word. So beautifully unpredictable and beautifully sloppy would be how I'd describe about the first 10 games of the season.
You're talking about sloppy and no tackling. Tennessee didn't get a chance to tackle in their scrimmage at all. 44 players were unable to participate due to the COVID test and contact tracing. What happens now? Now that we seeing this, it's popping up. Where are we going now?
I think we just got to weather the storm to a certain extent. We're going to have positive tests. I mean, I think we all recognize positive tests are inevitable. They're not in a bubble environment. So it's going to be something, not necessarily whether or not we have them, but how do we respond to them? Are the teams able to respond to them in a positive way? Now, I think the protocols have been good. We've seen Auburn miss time with practices. Tennessee is the most recent example of a team that's had to miss time. We saw Tulsa and Oklahoma State already have their week one game postponed. We've seen Rice shut down practice already, just 4 weeks away from their start of their season. So I think it's going to be all about hitting curveballs this year. And it's a challenge. It's concerning. And the numbers are alarming when you look at the contact tracing. You have 44 guys out. That's difficult. That's difficult to overcome. But it's just kind of par for the course. And I hate to use cliches this year, but that's just going to be something that we deal with on a weekly basis, and making sure it's as safe as humanly possible. And if we can't promote a safe environment, then we can't play. And I think Tennessee's recognized that throughout the course of fall camp. Several other teams have as well. And I think it's only the beginning. We're probably going to have games that are canceled, suspended, moved, postponed, what have you. That's going to happen. It's just about making sure that we have a majority of those games that are still good to go. Like last night, where you had teams on both sides that had not had a positive test in over 3 weeks. So I think it's just circumstantial and just figuring out a way to put your best foot forward if, in fact, you are missing a key part of your offense or defense.
Greg, it seems like there's so many questions with that, though, because, you know, what's a realistic time frame in order to get your team back? Do you miss two games? Do you miss three games? You know, it just seems like it could be all over the place, and that could be one team thinking that they're going to be in it, and all of a sudden, due to COVID, now all of a sudden you're not in it.
Yeah, and that's part of its luck, too, Jay Will. I mean,
hey, Greg, you still there with us, bud?
Greg, you with us?
Oh, I guess he's not.
Looks like we lost Greg there, but Jay, you seem to be kind of agreeing with your point for sure.
He'll call us back. He wants to be on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin, so he'll dial in.
That's the thing. Imagine if you're a kid, and I mean, look, this is the reality of it, and we're watching MLB go through this. It happened multiple times with multiple teams, but you have 60 games as related to, you know, in college football, you have a lot less games exponentially,
11 maybe.
But
now,
if you do get positive tests on your team and say you miss three games, four games, like where does that put you in a hunt? Like you could have one of the best teams. Alabama, one of the best teams, but all of a sudden this happens to your team. Now all of a sudden you're out of the conversation.
Yeah, if you only play seven games. That's my whole point. It's not whether or not there's going to be positive tests. We all know there's going to be positive tests. I mean, you know, but it's like if I keep getting these positive tests and I'm losing players and I got a game on Saturday and all of a sudden these tests happen and then they have to sit down for a couple weeks or whatever the time frame is, and I look up and play a game and all of a sudden – the team I'm supposed to play the following week, something happens to them. It's like, now what's the point? We're only playing six games throughout the season, it's almost like a waste of time at that point.
Let me ask you this, Key, because a lot of people are talking about the big three that are going, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12. We'll see ACC and Big 12 games this weekend. But what a lot of people aren't talking about, fellas, is that there are another three leagues that are still playing. The Sun Belt, the AAC, and Conference USA. And
I try my best to watch that, but you know.
I know. But the only reason I bring that up, Key, is because of the inequity of testing. Tennessee, no matter what happens, they're testing everybody every day. If you're playing for a Sun Belt school or Conference USA or the AAC, and you are determined to play an entire season, I'm just thinking they don't have the resources these big schools have, and that's the rubber is going to meet the road there at some point.
Well, we just hope that when it meets, that it stays as positive on the positive side of not getting the virus as possible. I mean, it's really nothing else you could say or do. I mean, if they're not testing as frequent as some of the other conferences, then you could expect some things to come up.
It really is interesting how sports is a reflection of society, right? Like, think about upper echelons of society. You can get tested all the time, you know, make sure that you're in a safe work environment. But then for some other people, they lack the resources due to their company. They can't get tested all the time. And that's what we're seeing to a degree in some of these smaller conferences. Look, you hope that you can fulfill a season for the kids' sake. I know they want to play. But the reality of it is, though, if you have less resources, it's going to prove to be extremely challenging.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That includes Marcus Spears to talk NFL at 7:30. We're brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers, only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs, high-speed data, then 2G, just $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Still to come, what one big quarterback contract in Texas means for that other guy waiting for big money in Big D. That's next.
How about them Cowboys?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.